Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into some really fascinating stuff from Douyu's Genome Compass. We're specifically looking at the parts about epigenetics.
Yeah, it's titled Another Gene Upon the Gene Epigenetics, The Revolution Rewriting the Code of Life. And it really does challenge how we think about ourselves.
Absolutely. So for this deep dive, our mission really is to get past that old idea, you know, the one where your genes are just fixed, like destiny written in stone from birth.
Right. We want to explore the dynamic conversation that's always happening between your genes, your experiences, and, well, everything around you.
And this whole interaction, this epigenetics, it seems like it's the key to understanding so much, isn't it?
It really is. Everything from why we're different to why we get sick. It might even give us new ways to think about our health, our well-being, maybe even what we pass on.
Okay, let's unpack this then. And maybe we should start with how people used to think about genes before all this epigenetic stuff came along.
Good idea. Yeah, think back to, say, the middle of the 20th century. Huge excitement. Watson and Crick, the double helix. Scientists were starting to actually read the genetic code.
Must felt like finding the instruction manual for life itself.
Totally. Like they'd unlocked the ultimate secret. And that led to this really powerful idea, almost a kind of biological determinism.
Good choice.
Basically that everything about life, all the phenomena, it's all just written in the DNA. Your traits, your risks, it all supposedly came straight from that sequence. A, T, C, G.
And you can see why, right? The process they were finding was so neat. DNA makes proteins, proteins do everything, build you, run you.
Exactly. It looked like this perfect universal law. If you knew the code, you knew the result. Simple.
Same code, same person. Different code, different person. Seemed logical.
Very logical. But science never stays simple for long, does it? And this neat picture started showing some, well, some pretty big cracks.
And one of the biggest came from looking at identical twins.
Ah, yes, the twins. This is where it gets really interesting, because identical twins, by definition, they have the exact same DNA sequence. They are genetic clones.
So if the gene is destiny idea was right, they should be, well, identical in almost every way.
Yeah.
Health-wise, at least.
That's what you'd expect. Same diseases, age the same way, maybe even similar personalities if genes dictated everything. But that's not what researchers found. Not consistently.
What did they find?
Well, often quite significant differences. One twin might get diabetes, the other wouldn't. One might develop serious depression, the other be fine. Different cancers, different aging rates, even differences in appearance over time.
Wow. Okay. So the instructions are identical, but the outcome isn't.
Exactly. That forces you to ask, what else is going on? It can't just be the DNA sequence.
There had to be something else influencing how that sequence gets used.
Right. Something controlling the expression. And that's something else. That's what we now call epigenetics.
Epigenetics, yeah. Meaning upon or on top of the gene.
Precisely. It's this whole regulatory system that sits on top of the DNA. The DNA letters themselves, the A's, T's, C's, and G's, they don't change. But these epigenetic marks, they determine if a gene is turned on or off, when, and how strongly.
It's like a control panel for the genes.
That's a great way to put it. A control panel above the basic code.
So how does this control panel actually work? What are the mechanisms?
Well, the source highlights a few key ones. There's DNA methylation. That's like sticking tiny chemical off switches, methyl groups, directly onto the DNA. Often dials down or silences a gene.
Okay, like a dimmer switch.
Yeah, or sometimes an off switch.
Yeah.
Then there's histone modification. See, DNA isn't just loose. It's wrapped around these proteins called histones, like thread on spools.
Right.
And modifying those spools, the histones, can change how tightly the DNA thread is wound. Tightly wound, the genes are hidden, hard to read. Loosely wound, they're accessible, easy to read.
So it controls access to the information.
Exactly. And there's also a role for things called non-coding RNAs, little RNA molecules that don't make proteins but can regulate gene expression in other complex ways.
The source used that analogy of a book, which I found really helpful.
It's a great one. Imagine your genome, your DNA sequence, is the text in a book, all the words.
Okay.
Now, the epigenetics, that's like highlighting sentences, folding down page corners, putting sticky notes saying, read this or skip this, maybe underlining things.
But the actual words on the page?
Yeah.
They stay the same.
They stay exactly the same. But those marks, the highlighting the notes, they totally change how you read the book, what you pay attention to, what you ignore. It's an interpretation layer. That's what epigenetics does for ourselves.
Okay, and here's the bit that just blows my mind. These marks, this highlighting, it's not permanent.
That was the real bombshell. No, it's not fixed. These epigenetic marks are incredibly dynamic. They can be added, removed, changed throughout your entire life.
Changed by what?
By life itself. By your environment, your experiences. What you eat, how much you sleep, if you exercise, your stress levels.
Wait, so my choices, my lifestyle, can actually change these epigenetic marks?
Yes. Exposure to toxins, social interactions, even learning and memory. All these things can influence the enzymes that put on or take off these marks. Your life experiences are literally leaving biochemical annotations on your genome.
That is profound. It means we're not just passively playing out a genetic script. We're kind of editing the script stage directions as we go.
That's a fantastic way to put it. We're not just living by our genes. We're actively interacting with them, shaping how they're used. It gives us a kind of biological agency we didn't realize we had.
And it doesn't stop there, does it? Because these changes, they might not just affect us.
Uh-huh. This is where it gets even wilder and maybe a bit controversial still, but the evidence is mounting. It's called transgenerational epigenetic inheritance, meaning that some of these epigenetic marks, the ones influenced by environment or experience, might actually be passed down to the next generation through the sperm or the egg.
So my life experiences could potentially influence how my kids' or grandkids' genes are expressed, not just the genes they inherit, but how those genes work.
That's the incredible implication. Like the source says, your life can influence how the genes of the next generation are used. It's mind-bending.
And there's real-world evidence pointing towards this, right? Like the Dutch famine example.
Yes, that's a classic, tragic, natural experiment. During World War II, there was a severe famine in the Netherlands. Researchers studied people who were developing in utero during that time of extreme starvation.
And what happened to them later in life?
Decades later, even though they had normal nutrition for most of their lives, these individuals had much higher rates of things like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, compared to siblings born before or after the famine.
And it wasn't a change in their actual DNA sequence caused by the famine.
No, their core DNA was the same. The strong hypothesis is that the prenatal malnutrition caused lasting epigenetic changes, especially in genes related to metabolism. It's like their bodies were programmed for scarcity, which then became a liability when food was plentiful.
And those epigenetic changes stuck around for life.
They seem to have, yes. And there are hints, though it's complex, that some effects might even echo into the next generation. It really shows how powerfully the environment can sculpt our biology through these epigenetic layers.
So this whole field helps explain things genetics alone couldn't quite figure out.
Absolutely. Like, why does one identical twin get a disease and the other doesn't? Epigenetics. Why do some cancers pop up seemingly out of nowhere with no family history? Maybe epigenetic silencing of protective genes?
Why do things like early life stress have such long-lasting effects?
Again, likely persistent epigenetic changes. Why do we all age so differently? Part of that is probably the unique accumulation of epigenetic wear and tear over our lifetime.
So to really understand, you need both the genome and the epigenome.
You need the text and the notes in the margin. The genome is the potential, the raw material. The epigenome is how that potential gets interpreted and used, constantly tweaked by life.
Let's go back to that book analogy one more time. Genes are the text.
Right, the basic words and sentences that code for life's building blocks.
And epigenetics is the grammar, how it's read.
Exactly. It's the grammar, the punctuation, the emphasis. It determines which sentences are read aloud, which are whispered, which are skipped entirely in a particular reading, like in a specific cell type or under specific conditions.
And that grammar can change based on the reader or the context.
Precisely. A brain cell and a skin cell have the same book, the same text, but they use vastly different epigenetic grammar, so they read and act on the text completely differently. And your life experiences can rewrite some of that grammar over time.
This really does feel like a revolution. Not just fine-tuning genetics, but a whole new layer.
It is. People call it the second genomic revolution. It's fundamental now. You can't really understand cancer or aging or mental health or immunity without considering the epigenetic dimension.
And it changes how we see ourselves, doesn't it? That phrase you mentioned earlier, ovilines. Beings living according to genes.
Right. It shifts us away from that. We're not just puppets of our DNA. We're beings who can interact with, manage, maybe even consciously influence the epigenetic code on our genes. We're part of the conversation.
Which must be opening up all sorts of possibilities in medicine and health.
Oh, absolutely. Personalized medicine is looking beyond just your DNA sequence to your epigenetic patterns, developing drugs that target epigenetic marks to treat cancer or other diseases. Understanding how diet and lifestyle changes actually work at a molecular level through epigenetics, predicting aging, maybe even finding ways to promote healthier aging. It's a hugely exciting field.
It really puts the lifestyle back into lifestyle choices matter.
It really does. It shows how they matter. It reinforces that life isn't just this fixed path laid out by your genes. It's this unfolding story. And the way it unfolds depends so much on how the genetic text is read, how it's interpreted by the epigenetic grammar shaped by your life.
And we're not just passive readers of that story.
No. As the source puts it, in essence, genes don't define you. Your life can influence how your genes are used. That's the takeaway. Empowering, maybe a little daunting too.
So, wrapping this up, what does it all mean for you listening? Well, that old idea of genes as a rigid, unchanging blueprint, it's really giving way to something much more dynamic, more interactive. Your DNA is the foundation, the text. But your life, your experiences, environment choices, they're constantly adding these epigenetic annotations, influencing which parts of your genetic story get told and how loudly.
Yeah, this dive into epigenetics inspired by Genome Compass, it shows that while you get your genetic text from your parents, your own journey helps write the rules for how that text gets used. It shapes your biology day by day.
Which leaves us with a pretty big question, doesn't it? If your life, your habits, even your environment can change how your genes work via these epigenetic marks, and if some of those changes might even echo into the future, what kind of power or maybe responsibility does that give you?
It makes you think, doesn't it? How the choices you make today might be writing the grammar, not just for your own future health, but potentially, in ways we're still figuring out, for the biological story that comes after you. It's a lot to consider.